You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, y'all, it feels great outside. Let me just start off by saying the weather is beautiful. I'm excited about this time, man. We're out of this winter, this crazy cold weather, man. It's 70 degrees right now. It feels great. We're getting ready to get that consistent, warm weather coming up, man, over this next week and leading on to into the springtime, man. So I'm definitely excited about that and being able to, you know, put some shorts on, some tank tops, some shirts, and things of that nature. So, hey, man, I hope y'all are excited as I am, and I'm pretty sure you are. But, man, I'm just, you know, happy to be back, man. Took a little bit of time off, but good to be back, jumping in to talk some good sports talk as always, man. So I'm just going to backtrack first and foremost. Before I get into some current stuff, just want to talk about and briefly touch on Super Bowl 56. I know I didn't get a chance to recap what happened in that. As you all know, I made my pick. I picked the Cincinnati Bengals. Unfortunately, I was wrong with that. But nevertheless, man, great game, and it was definitely an exciting game to watch from the first and the second half. Not to mention the halftime show, which was really, really good. So just let's jump into it right now, man. So again, the Rams, you know, they won Super Bowl 56, and gonna just recap that and then talk about, you know, if the Bengals have the capability of making another Super Bowl run like they did this year. So real quick, just gonna recap, like I said, man. So the Rams won this game 23-20. Matthew Stafford went 26-40 for 283 yards, 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Odell Beckham had 2 receptions in this one for 52 yards and a touchdown, but unfortunately he left the game early with an what would soon to be found out as an ACL injury. Cooper Kupp had a solid game, 8 receptions, 92 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The Rams were 6 of 15 on third down, 313 total yards, and they were 3 of 3 in the red zone. Aaron Donald actually made the game-winning play on 4th-and-1 to seal the victory for the Rams. Let's just look briefly at what the Bengals did in this one. So Joe Burrow, first Super Bowl of his career, went 22 of 33, 263 yards, 1 touchdown, not bad at all. However, he was sacked 7 times, and this was something that came up in discussion, could the Bengals withstand that pressure from the Rams defensive line, you know, with Aaron Donald, with Leonard Floyd, and those guys, man, and Von Miller. Could they withstand that? And for the most part, they held it down, and Burrow stepped up, made some tough throws when he needed to, but he was sacked 7 times. And I'll tell you how impactful those 7 sacks were in just a second. T. Higgins had a great game, man. He only had 4 receptions, but 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Bengals were 3 of 14 on third down, which was a big problem for them. They had 305 total yards. However, they were 1 of 3 on fourth down and 1 of 3 in the red zone, which was the biggest difference for me in this game, them not being able to capitalize off of their opportunities. And, you know, they lost 43 yards of offense on those 7 sacks that they allowed. And they failed to score and increase their lead when they were up 20-16 in the fourth quarter. Failed to convert on that 4th-and-1 at midfield with the chance to drive and tie the game or take the lead with the late field goal. They could have potentially taken the game in the overtime, with that field goal. So, again, Aaron Donald made the play there, and they were able to seal the deal. So, just looking at what both of these teams did collectively, the Rams and the Bengals both held each other under 100 yards rushing. The Rams only had 43 yards rushing, and the Bengals had 79 yards rushing. So let's talk about the Bengals real quick. So can the Bengals make another Super Bowl run? I think the Bengals, you know, they definitely had a capability to make it back to the playoffs and compete. Now, however, the Ravens will be back and healthy this year. So, you know, they were plagued with a lot of injuries that really kind of hurt them in their chances. But they're going to be back healthy this year. And, you know, the sort of battle I think will eventually be between both of those teams, which will be great to see. Now, and also the Cleveland Browns, you don't know what's going to happen with them. They could be, you know, trying to make a quarterback switch. I know Baker Mayfield's there right now, but we all know Baker Mayfield's not the answer. So they could go in a different direction come, you know, when it gets to free agency and you know, maybe make a trade and see what happens there. So, you know, the Browns are another team that if they can make a move and add some pieces, they will definitely be in the mix as well. So do I think the Bengals can make a Super Bowl run? I'm not going to say that because that's a tough thing to do, to go back to the Super Bowl. It's hard enough as it is to go to the Super Bowl one time. It's hard to get back. So do they have the talent? Absolutely. I definitely think that they're going to be motivated to get back, but I just don't know if they're going to get back. I think if they do indeed go back to the Super Bowl, it'd be, you know, a few years from now, but I don't necessarily see them going right back this upcoming year. But I'm just excited to see how, you know, Burrow grows with you know, with Ja'Marr Chase, continues to grow with T. Higgins and build that connection, and, you know, maybe they can add some more weapons there and become even more dangerous. So that was just a little recap of the Super Bowl again. I appreciate y'all letting me backtrack a little bit, but let's talk about, you know, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers. So Aaron Rodgers reportedly wants to be the highest paid player by a wide margin, excuse me. So the question here is he trying to force his way out of Green Bay? Is he indirectly trying to force his way out of Green Bay? So let's look at this. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, recently he did a 12-day pancorama cleanse for detoxification. This cleanse includes laxatives, drinking warm ghee butter. It was a strict diet, and he abstained from exercise, sex, and sugar. Rogers said that he utilized this cleanse for a period of reflection to cleanse his mind and his body. Now, ESPN's Diana Rusani reported that, again, Rogers is looking for a new deal that will pay him more money per year than any player in NFL history. Rusani says that Rogers wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL by a wide margin. Around $50 million per year. Now, Aaron Rodgers did come out on Pat McAfee's show and deny this and said that it's categorically false. Multiple teams have been reported to have called the Packers about possible trade packages for Aaron Rodgers, but their general manager at the NFL Combine denied that anybody has been on the phone to inquire about the likes of Aaron Rodgers, which I find to be false. I find that hard to believe that nobody has picked up the phone and at least inquired and tried to begin that discussion. So I think he's lying there. I don't trust that's true, especially with a guy like Aaron Rodgers that could potentially hit the open market by the time the new league year hits. So I find that to be very, very strange that nobody would have reached out. So I'm not buying that from their GM at all. So now, the Packers, you know, giving Rodgers a new deal could potentially help them with the cap space for 2022. So Rodgers currently has a $47 million cap hit for the upcoming season with his current deal. Now, the Packers could shave a good bit off of that with the new deal. So they could, you know, kind of reduce that cap hit. So the only thing here is last year, if you guys remember, Rodgers actually turned down an offer from the Packers that would have made him the highest paid player in the NFL. Now, he denied this, and he declined signing that contract due to, you know, the structure of the deal. So there was some verbiage in that deal that he did not like. And if you guys can recall, he wanted to have control. So the only reason why Aaron Rodgers came back and played for the Packers was because they gave him the opportunity to void out his final year and do what he wanted. You know, he could control his destiny after playing for them after last season. So he was able to gain some type of control and get back into the organization that way and play. So he said it wasn't about the money. You know, if it was, you know, he would have signed last year, obviously. But this year, after coming off of an MVP, another MVP, of course he's going to want to get paid. So if you're asking me, I'm like, you know what, Aaron Rodgers, he's definitely looking to get paid, which the Packers are going to be willing to pay him. But if the Packers do indeed put together an offer that would make Rodgers the highest paid player, they also have to consider other upcoming free agents on their roster that are looking to get paid. So the notable free agents, obviously you got Devontae Adams, but he's expected to be franchise tagged. But what if Devontae Adams decides he doesn't want to sign and play under a franchise tag? So there's something you got to watch there. You got their tight end, Robert Tonyan. You got the other wide receivers that Aaron Rodgers has built a connection with, Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Alan Lazard. You got Devontae Campbell, and then you got Rasul Douglas. These are some notable free agents on their roster, and there's more on there, but these are some names that jumped out. Where they're going to have to look at this thing and really, you know, weigh their options and say, you know, how are we going to do this? You know, what are the moves that we're going to make? Who are we going to let fall and go into free agency and test the market? So I, looking at Aaron Rodgers, knowing that he knows, and here's the thing, Aaron Rodgers knows that he wants to get paid, but if in order for the Packers to pay him, they're going to have to break up the team in some way. And you're gonna take a hit. And Aaron Rodgers is not going to want to play in a situation where he doesn't have an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. So if you look at it, it's kind of like, in my opinion, like he's indirectly trying to force his way out of Green Bay. He's already been making, you know, he's made these Instagram posts thanking the fans and the organization and just making it, just mapping it out like he's saying goodbye. And it's just coming off like, let me ask them for more money instead of coming out and say, hey, I want to be traded. Let me ask for this amount that I know that if they were to give it to me, the team wouldn't even be it the way I want it to be. So I wouldn't even want to play for them. And then I'd ask for a trade. So I don't know, y'all. Maybe that's just me, but I just think of it like, he's kind of trying to push himself out of the door without coming out and saying it. So, you know, either you don't have to agree with that, but let's just watch and see what happens. The new league year is coming up. I want to say next week the new league year begins. Or we got another. No, I want to say, I think it begins on the 14th, if I'm not mistaken. So we probably got a little over a week before the new league year begins. So Aaron Rodgers is going to have to say something to them so that they're going to, you know, have to know, you know, how they're going to proceed and move forward from here. So interesting stuff there. Just going to keep paying attention, man, and see what happens. Let's move on, man. Let's talk some NBA talk. So let's look at the current NBA standings. And I'm going to tell you who I feel like is the MVP front runner. In my opinion, and then we're going to talk about who's the most box office player in the NBA right now. So looking at the current NBA standings, so in the East, you got the Heat at one. You got the 76ers two. They're two games back from first place. The Bucks are three. They're three games back from first place. The Bulls are at four. They're also three games back away from being in first place. You got the Celtics five, Cavs six, Raptors seven, Nets are eight, Hawks are 9, Hornets are 10. Now the Raptors, Nets, Hawks, and Hornets that would be the 7 through the 10 seeds currently will all be if the season ended today, they would all be in a play-in tournament, the one game play-in to be able to get into the playoffs. So you would have the Raptors and the Nets facing off for that 7 seed, and then you would have the Hawks and the Hornets facing off for that 8 seed. So that's the East, and then you got the West. The Suns are at one, the Warriors are at two, they're eight games back out of first place. You got the Grizzlies at three, Jazz at four, Mavs at five, Nuggets six, T-Wolves are at seven, Clippers are at eight, Lakers are at nine, and the Pelicans are at 10. And again, the play-in scenarios for these teams would be the T-Wolves and the Clippers would be playing for that 7th seed, and then you got the Lakers and the Pelicans would be playing for that 8th seed. And this is if the season ended today. So just looking at this, man, I think that, you know, I think that the East is a lot more interesting and competitive when it comes to top to bottom in this playoff race and in seeding. You look at the West and you see, you know, the Suns, Warriors, and Grizzlies. I think that those top three teams, out of those top three, those are the ones that are going to be going to the finals. Suns, Warriors, or Grizzlies. And I'm looking at the Warriors like they're getting ready to have James Wiseman coming back. You know, Andrew Wiggins is balling. You know, Draymond is getting ready to come back. Clay is, you know, showing really good flashes and signs of his old self. You know, you got Curry doing his thing, of course. So looking at this team, man, and seeing how they've been able to really hold it together and really put themselves in a really, really good position. I'm looking at the Warriors like, hey, this could be the matchup. And, you know, hey, maybe a Suns, Warriors, Western Conference Finals, that would be great to see if indeed that happened. But looking at the East, man, I'm just thinking, you know, you got the East is just deeper with teams that could just really be competitive from, you know, really from one to really one to like seven or eight, man. It's just, you know, the Heat are doing their thing. The Sixers, you know, with James Harden. And Joel Embiid, they're balling. But again, I do think that, you know, when it comes down to the Sixers actually playing, you know, more competition, I'm interested to see how they do against them. You know, they so far with James Harden, Joel Embiid, they played against the Timberwolves and then the Knicks twice. So I want to see them play against, you know, more competition, you know, like a team like the Bucks or, you know, looking at them or the Heat and seeing how they respond there. You know, the Bucks are doing their thing. Obviously, you got my Bulls, you know, on a 4-game losing streak right now. But when the Bulls, you know, are healthy again, I think that they have a really good shot to make a run. When Caruso and Lonzo come back and then Patrick Williams get back in the lineup, I think that they'll, you know, have an opportunity to really make a statement. The Cavs, man, they were really exceeding expectations. And they were really one of those surprise teams in the East this year. At one point they're down at six right now, but they were up at, you know, top four teams in the East for a good while. So, you know, who knows what will happen with them when they get in the playoffs. So I'm just, you know, excited to see kind of how it all shakes up. And it's just, I want to say it's about 20, well, probably between like 18 to 20 games left in this season right now. So, it's getting ready. It's crunch time, and teams are battling and they're fighting to get into playoff position. So let's talk about MVP front runner. So I think, in my opinion, you know, obviously you're looking at Joel Embiid as a guy that's up there. You know, Steph Curry is a guy that jump out to people as well. Obviously, you know, you got to throw Giannis in there because everybody loves Giannis and putting him in the talks. But for me personally, man, I'm looking at DeMar DeRozan. You know, just what DeMar DeRozan has been able to do for the Bulls this year, even without having Zach LaVine on the court, has been remarkable. I mean, he's absolutely lethal from mid-range. I mean, he's averaging 28 points per game, which is fourth in the NBA, on 51% from the field. He leads the Bulls in points. He's second on the team in assists, and he leads in free throw attempts on the team. He leads the NBA in fourth quarter points per game, and he snapped Will Chamberlain's scoring record with 35-plus points on better than 50% shooting. Do you know how hard it is, people, to break a Will Chamberlain record? Like, that in itself should just tell you the type of work that DeMar DeRozan has been able to do. And he's playing the best basketball of his career right now. Like, look at the numbers. He is easily playing the best basketball that he's ever played in his career. And he's in a situation where he's, you know, he has a great complement in Zach LaVine, and he really just eats away at that mid-range game. I mean, he's literally automatic from mid-range. It doesn't matter if he's contested, two people on him, three people on him. It just doesn't matter. Like, he is literally doing his thing, and I think that he deserves to be, you know, if not the front runner, at least top two in a discussion in the MVP race. You know, Joel Embiid obviously has been a tremendous force for the Sixers in what he's been able to do and accomplish and dominate the way that he's been able to dominate this year. But, you know, just looking at You know, he has James Harden right now. Obviously, that you can't really judge it right now because Joel has been doing this, you know, the whole season up until this point, and that's before James Harden got there. But DeMar DeRozan, in my opinion, is one of those guys that should definitely deserves to be in the discussion. And he may not win it this year, but I think he deserves to be in those talks and being in that top two and serious discussions to get that MVP. So let's look at box office, man. So when we talk about box office, man, we're looking at a player that I'm like a player that I have to see. Like, I would spend hundreds of, you know, a few hundred dollars to see if the tickets were that high. For me, my box office player is Ja Morant. Looking at Ja Morant, man, and the way that he's been able to play and elevate his game this year has been absolutely insane to watch, man. I mean, Ja Morant, he's averaging 27 points a game, 7th in the NBA. He posted a career high and a franchise record, 52 points versus the Spurs, and he shot 73.7% from the field. He was 100% from the three-point line. Now, he only took 4 threes, but he was 100%. And he had a buzzer beater and a poster over Jakob Poeltl from the Spurs, which, if y'all haven't seen it, just go pull it up. Just pull up Ja Morant poster. I mean, he's had many of them, but I'm sure that'll be the first one that pops up. You could put poster on Spurs, like, my God. Like, that was insane. And, you know, looking at the rest of his performance, man. I mean, he's put up 40. Even the game before that, he put up 46 points on 53.6% shooting from the field against my Bulls. You know, it's just crazy. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, man. It's just one of those things where you're looking at him and you're just like, I just don't. I don't know how you can't like a guy like Ja Morant. I just don't know how you can't like a guy like that. Like, I think that looking at how he progressed from last year up until, you know, this year, and looking at, you know, when they asked him last year, you know, how do you feel about the season and everything, and he really mentioned, you know, that he had to work on his game. He saw some things that he needed to work on and improve on. And he specifically listed those things, and he went and put in that work and grinded and got to the level that he wanted to get to. And I'm pretty sure he's not where he wants to be, even through all the success that he has right now. And I think that the great thing about Ja Morant is he plays with that chip on his shoulder. He plays with a lot of passion. And you look back into how, you know, his situation on even how he got to playing in college, you know, being, you know, just coach at Murray State happened to walk into the gym and see him playing basketball, and he was able to get a scholarship to Murray State, and how he played at Murray State and with the passion and just that drive, and how he had them in the NCAA tournament really making a statement. And then, you know, you go to the NBA and you still have that same chip. I think that's the thing that makes him stand out, being a young player and just constantly having that chip on your shoulder and not getting complacent, not settling and just allowing the hype and what people say to get into your head. So it's special for a guy that's young like that to be able to have that ability and continue to perform the way that he's performing. So shout out to Ja Morant, man. I hope, you know, if the Hawks get in the playoffs and they happen to face the Grizzlies or something, man, I would want to see that. I mean, that wouldn't be able to happen. Duh, because the Hawks are in the East and the Grizzlies are in the West. So only way that would happen is if both of those teams went to the finals. But I meant to say, I guess, before this season is out, if they do match up, man, I might want to go check that out. I don't know if they play each other, but I might have to check in and look into that. And now let's shift gears, man. Let's talk about the NCAA tournament, man. So we got The conference tournaments are getting ready to start this upcoming week, man. Exciting time for college basketball. And then we have Selection Sunday coming up next Sunday. And then you go into March Madness, and that time of the year that we all love and we all hate at the same time, to pick our brackets and hope and pray that they last past at least 12 o'clock on that first day of those games, because sometimes those brackets, man, they're done that first day. So I'm excited, man. I haven't picked a winner in the NCAA tournament. It's been a couple of years for me, but definitely excited to do this again. And just gonna give you guys, you know, teams that I think that have the capability of making a Final Four run, and then we're gonna talk about, you know, the SEC and, you know, how far can the SEC get in the NCAA tournament? How far can they advance? So looking at the teams, you know, for when it comes to the tournament and who I feel like have the potential and the capability of making a Final Four run. So I have Purdue. I'm looking at Arkansas out of the SEC. I got Baylor. I'm looking at Auburn out of the SEC. I hate to say it, but got to give Auburn the credit. I'm looking at Duke. Houston is another team that has a solid chance. I'm looking at, for my dark horses, I'm looking at Illinois. I'm looking at Tennessee. And, you know, I would love to say my Alabama Crimson Tide. And, you know, for me, looking at Alabama, I think that Alabama, they can beat anybody. I mean, they've shown that they beat Gonzaga. They beat Baylor. You know, they beat teams that are quality teams. It's just their struggle against those teams that they should beat, and just being consistent in protecting the ball, which they have not done throughout this year. So maybe they can hit their stride and really start peaking when it comes to that in the SEC tournament. And they really have a chance. They have capabilities. But I'm looking at that, man, and I'm, you know, Arkansas, Auburn, Tennessee, and Bama, you know, in the SEC, those are teams that have real opportunities to, you know, to really make the Final Four run. And again, I said Purdue, I have Duke, and I have Baylor as well. So let's talk about, you know, how far do I think that the SEC can advance. So for me, man, I think the SEC, I think they have the talent to win the whole thing. The SEC can win the national championship this year easily. I definitely think that they easily have enough talent to be able to do it. I'm not saying they can win it easily. I'm saying I think by far they definitely have the talent with the five teams that are currently in the top 25 to be able to make a run between those five teams. They have seven top 10 wins combined out of those five teams that are ranked in the top 25. I think that, again, those five teams, they do have the capability to beat anybody. You know, and this is if they play to their potential. You know, if these teams really lock down and play to their potential, they're going to be hard teams to beat. So trust me when I say I think the SEC is definitely going to at least get – the SEC at the very least at least will have two teams in the Elite Eight. I think they will at least have two teams in the Elite Eight with the opportunity, and they'll get at least one of their teams will get to the Final Four. I mean, they can get multiple teams in the Final Four. And honestly, I'll give my predictions on that when the bracket comes out. I just want to see where everybody is seated, because if there's a situation where you got two of those SEC teams, two or three of them on the same side, we might run into some issues. So that would make my prediction accurate. But I definitely think that the SEC will be well represented, and you know, I think that it's gonna be one of those years. Like I said, it's unpredictable. You don't know who's gonna win it this year. It's not one team that's clear cut to take the natty home. So that's the beauty of it, and that's the excitement of March Madness. So. But hey, man, that's all I have for you guys, man. I appreciate y'all jumping in with me again and giving me some time to talk some good, healthy sports talk with y'all. Again, continue to rock with me. Continue to support, man. I appreciate y'all as always. And I'll be back, man, to talk some more sports talk next week, man. Y'all enjoy this weather. Get out, man. The sun is out. Have fun. Enjoy. Peace, blessings.